Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news and stuff. Well, how's it going? The week is nearly over. We are recovering from our month on the road, traveling down south. And golly whiz, it's kind of nice. I basically have been doing nothing other than trying to survive the influenzas. Let's see, I've got A and B. I wonder if there's a C and a D. If there is, guaranteed, I'm going to get it. Hey, I'm glad you're here today, my friend. Still excited about the fact Southwest has turned out those 36 TV series. It's available at swrc.com, 1-800-652-1144. Has to do with the spirit world. 36 television messages that we delivered goes along with our book, InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. So many people are getting helped by that, and we are so excited to make it available to you. Call a friend, tell them we're on the air. Got a lot of things to talk about today. Don't go away. As a matter of fact, stay tuned right now. What in the world is going on? What's going on here? Hunter. Talking about Hunter Biden, who else? His former business partner, Tony Bobulinski, has criticized the president's son for running away from the American people after he declined to appear for a congressional hearing next week. Biden declined an invite from Chairman James Comer of Kentucky to attend the House Oversight Committee hearing on March the 20th, when committee members of both parties will get a chance to ask about his alleged influence peddling and Biden's family business dealings, according to his lawyer. 1 week from today, on Wednesday, March the 20th, I will testify publicly before the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability. Bobulinski responded, I was disappointed to see the news today that Hunter is running away from his chance to tell the truth. He's been adamant in wanting to go before the American people, and oversight is now giving him that opportunity, and he says no. That family is... Now's the time to step up, Hunter, said his partner. As you've said you want to do it, don't cower in the face of accountability. And this is a fight for truth and democracy. I don't know. Every time I think Biden, I think criminal. How about you? And Trump's the one that has a zillion charges against him. Oh, good grief, Charlie Brown. Everybody weighing in on this one. Federal criminal defense attorney Carolyn Pelosi said on Wednesday that Fulton County DA Fannie Willis's prosecution of former President Trump could be the death knell if she's taken off the case. While speaking on MSNBC, the attorney acknowledged that this case would still be ongoing if Willis was disqualified from it by the Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee because of her alleged affair with Nathan Wade, a prosecutor she hired in the case. However, she predicted that it could lose all of its momentum once it was reassigned to someone else. The attorney Pelosi made that claim as Willis, Georgia's election interference case, was hit by another string of setbacks, with McAfee throwing out six counts against Donald Trump. It's all a mess. Who do you trust? Who do you believe? You know, I don't believe this one is going to end until Jesus comes. A white Missouri teenager who was beaten unconscious near Hazelwood High School last week, identified as Kaylee, is fighting for her life with severe brain damage now. She has major brain bleeding and swelling and is in critical condition, according to doctors. Kaylee is fighting hard to stay alive and heal. But this is only the beginning of a very uphill battle for Kaylee and her family. We will not know the extent of the brain damage that has occurred until she wakes up. But the path to recovery will be extremely hard for the family, not only mentally, but financially. According to the family, she was left alone on the ground to convulse before EMTs arrived. She was admitted to one of the local hospitals in St. Louis with skull fractures and frontal lobe damage as well. A mob of black teenagers beat the 15-year-old girl unconscious as a large group of bystanders stood and watched. Additional fights broke out between other groups. Kaylee convulsed after the teen repeatedly beat her on the head with a piece of cement. My, oh my. Now let me ask, if a black teenager were viciously attacked by a white mob, would that story be on the national news last night? I don't know. In some ways, this one kind of surprised me. The U.S. House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted yesterday to ban TikTok in the United States unless its Chinese-based parent company divests the popular social video network's U.S. operations, settled out, in other words, within 6 months. The bill's prospect in the Senate are unclear, though the fake president has said that he would sign the bill should it pass. The legislation is rooted in a long-standing concern, of course, from U.S. officials that China could access the personal data of so many millions and millions of American users, like browsing history, location, biometrics. Fueling this worry is China's 2017 National Intelligence Law, which requires Chinese businesses to cooperate with the national intelligence efforts of China. A ban would significantly disrupt TikTok's 170 million U.S. monthly active users and 5 million businesses, likely pushing them and advertisers to other companies like Meta, Google, and Snap. A federal judge blocked a Montana state ban on TikTok in November over concerns it infringed on the First Amendment speech rights. The ban proposal comes on the heels of TikTok's worst quarter for annual user growth in the company's history. And it's interesting, the rules that go for America are widely open. The same TikTok in China is widely restricted. Now think about that. I've had so many want me to get on TikTok, but never have. What do you think? Nigerian kidnappers have demanded over $600,000 for the release of 280 kids taken hostage last week. At least 500 people have been kidnapped now over the last 2 years in a crisis that become increasingly common since the 2014 kidnapping by Boko Haram. Last week, armed men stormed a school, a town in northern Nigeria, kidnapping over 280 students, 8 years to 15 years of age. The attack was followed by the kidnapping of 15 schoolboys in another area after more than 200 people were kidnapped in northeastern Borno. The kidnappings may be related. Islamist militant groups are active in the northeast, while rogue gangs have adopted hostage for ransom tactics across the north. It's a criminal enterprise believed to yield upward to $5 million to the militants and gangs in recent years as Nigeria's military fails to cement any control there. An estimated 4,000 people reportedly kidnapped last year. Isn't that something? I think this one can become personal. Menopause may play a key role in significantly extending the lifespan of certain species of whales, according to new research. The work also sheds light on the evolutionary origins of the biological process, a question that's vexed the scientists for years. Most mammals remain fertile throughout their life, allowing them to maximize the number of offspring. Only humans, chimpanzees, and 5 species of whales are known to experience menopause. That's that process making the end for a mammal's ability to reproduce, birth. The study revealed female whales that experience menopause outlive similar-sized whales by 40 to 80 years. Really? Now, here's the key. Observations suggest the process allows post-reproductive females to protect and care for younger and midlife relatives without producing new offspring to compete. Researchers speculated the phenomenon confers evolutionary advantages in species living with complex social structures, behaviors exhibited by both chimps and human beings. Mrs. Patton and I, most of you know, have taken on 5 grandchildren, and my wife has said more than once, I feel younger taking care of these kids. I think there's something to it. What say ye, America? While we can't decide here in the United States how to regulate the potentially world-altering tech called AI, artificial intelligence, it can be good, it can be really bad. Over in Europe, lawmakers are forging a path forward now. Yesterday, the European Parliament voted in favor of sweeping rules to govern AI. The regulations, which probably still have some time before they go into full force, divide artificial intelligence, AI, by how risky it is and ban the ones deemed unacceptable. I wonder how they decide that. Between this and its Digital Markets Act, which recently went into effect to crack down on competition in the tech sector, the bloc is now becoming the world's leading tech cop. Business news? Does this fall into the lap of Sleepy Joe? Adidas posted its first annual loss in 30 years. Adidas. And warned that U.S. sales are hurting. Some of the company's struggles stem from its costly breakup with rapper Yee, as it sells off the last of the Yeezy line. Everybody's hurting. The first rocket launched by Japan's Space One, now this would be awful, exploded just a few seconds after launching. The startup wants to be the first Japanese country to get a satellite into space, but this is not a good start. SpaceX, which has its own history of exploding, may try for a third launch sometime today. Trader Joe's. You ever shop there? We don't have one in Fort Wayne. You got one in your area? They said its popular mini canvas tote's going to be back in stores this summer. Yeah. Meanwhile, the currently sold-out status symbols are listed for hundreds and hundreds on eBay. What are those things? Canvas totes, huh? Well, a hiker, I looked into this one, discovered a mysterious monolith on a mountain in Wales. Just came up overnight. What sure feels like a throwback to 2020. They say it's a UFO, or at least they planted it there. Living in today's world, some stories in life just actually hard to believe. Can you imagine living your whole life in an iron lung and still function? Paul Alexander has died at age 78, yet he managed to attend university, publish a memoir, qualify as a lawyer, and even represent clients in court despite living for 7 decades in an iron lung. Paralyzed from the neck down by polio at the age of 6, my wife had polio. Alexander used a long plastic wand clenched between his teeth to type, answer the telephone, and wield a pen. A mirror above his face gave him a view of his interlocutors. When modern ventilators became available in the 60s, he decided to remain in his iron lung because he was used to it. Startled legal clients entering his office in Austin in the 80s sometimes assumed he was getting a tan. He taught himself to breathe independently, gulping down air with his throat as he had no control of his lungs, but this frog breathing, as he called it, was draining. At his fittest, he managed several hours a day outside the iron lung, enough to attend court hearings in a wheelchair, dressed in a 3-piece suit where he specialized in family law, especially helping those filing bankruptcy. Amazing what you can do if you really want to. As a man thinketh in his mind, in his heart, so is he. Our 11th commandment at the cross in Fort Wayne is, thou shall not whine. Well, we've been getting a lot of mail at Hello World recently. Here's one from a doctor down in Telford, Tennessee. Dear Dr. Patton, I appreciate listening to you on WHCB. Your tell-it-like-it-is style is quite refreshing, especially because the Bible is your anchor of truth. The other day I caught part of your show in which you said some things which left no doubt in my mind as to your position regarding the sanctity of life. Then you ended the show with the 5 Christian do's. Since you placed prayer in the number 2 slot, I suddenly got the notion that you might be interested in my book, sir. Located just 10 miles from HCB is a terrible murdering place called the Bristol Regional Women's Center. They hire a horde of pink-clad, demon-influenced people to proclaim choice in some pretty ugly ways. In the meantime, I've been trying to awaken the church in the region here to their responsibility to rise up against this Holocaust. I believe that responsibility begins with prayer, hence my book. Perhaps you're in a position to help raise awareness to this problem. Devoted to Life, it's called, huh? A 365-day devotional to restore America's greatness by Dr. Les Young. Thank you, sir. You can also get it at Amazon.com. And finally, I was looking on my Facebook page, and there's Mrs. Obama, Mrs. Trump, and Mrs. Biden. A little caption underneath. Obama, my husband hates America. Trump, my husband loves America. Biden, my husband doesn't even know he's in America. Where's my Bible? Life 101 is next. Boy, I'm glad you're here. I mean that sincerely. I love talking on the radio. Matthew Hill was talking last week at Bristol there at Antioch Baptist Church. So many people applauding. He said, this place is filled with Greg Patton groupies. What is that? Next, I'm going to talk about friends. You don't want to miss this message. It just gets me so excited to know that you are out there and so many of you consider me your friend. Likewise from this end, my friend. Thank you so much for listening to Hello World every day at this time. Well, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. I don't know why, but I got to thinking about friends. We've got bunches of them, praise the Lord. I'm not sure why. The majority of them are in Tennessee and Virginia, believe it or not. Some people contact us nearly every day to find out about our world. They say wonderful things on Facebook and send me fantastic messages and just inspires me. Yet the question remains, how far would I go for them? How far, if we're friends, would you go for me? I've always been interested in stories about those who give their lives for others, oftentimes strangers. I wondered if I would have made it into the military, and the Lord knows I tried before being rejected again and again, that if I were in a situation where, let's say, an explosive device or a grenade was thrown into the middle of us, would I jump on that thing and have my life maybe save yours? It's something to think about, isn't it? We talk a good story, but again, how far would you go? I posed a situation to my church, it's been some time ago, about friendship and how far would you go to help me? Let's say I was in financial woes. I was reading something once upon a time and said, if you have several friends, that overnight you ought to be able to raise several thousand dollars from those friends to help you. Well, that made me think, could I do that? I wonder if people would give me several thousand dollars, like in a loan, I mean. It is something to consider. What does the Bible say? Let's see how different Bible versions approach this one. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. Phillips' translation says this, I've loved you just as the Father has loved me. You must go on living in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will live in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. I've told you this so that you can share my joy and that your happiness may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love each other as I've loved you. There's no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I tell you to do. I shall not call you servants any longer, for a servant does not share his master's confidence. No, I call you friends now, because I have told you everything that I have heard from the Father. Wow. So, would you lay down your life for a friend under what circumstances? You know, I say it all the time, like in preaching or teaching, hey, that could be cheap. What? I mean, it's easy to get up there and tell you how to live. It's easy to tell you what I would do. But when the rubber meets the road, when we are actually put in a position to prove what we preach, what say ye now, my friend? Wasn't all that long ago I shared the story? A guy runs out into traffic, shoves a child out of the way, and he dies. Isn't that something? You never know, I guess, until you're put in that situation. Dying for someone? Now let's think about that for a moment. It happened. Someone's already died for you. Jesus Christ. Oh, what he endured, my friend. I believe the worst death ever for a human being. Yep, that was our Jesus going to the cross, bearing all of your sins upon himself, that you might have life eternal. We need to think about that. John 10:10 tells us that, hey, not only should you have a life here on this earth and eternally, but you should have an abundant life. Is it joy-filled? He laid down his life for you, my friend. Have you ever trusted Christ as Savior? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just bow your head right now before Almighty God and ask his forgiveness. He promises to give it. It's instantaneous. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and invite Jesus Christ to rule and reign the remainder of your life on this old earth. I can tell you from experience, 50 years experience, that it's fantastic, an unbelievable adventure. As I continue to say on this radio program, it's a fantastic way to live and a fantastic way to die. Yes, I'm continually amazed at the generosity of others. I have a pastor friend in Elizabethton who gave to a stranger one of his kidneys so that she might live. What would provoke a person to do something like that? The love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ. There's no greater love that you can show a friend than to lay down your life. Just something to think about today on Hello World. God has so blessed me. I think again about my serving God. He's done everything for me. He saved me from a mess at age 27. I owe him everything. I can't possibly do enough for him. And as I often say in churches and conferences across the country, like for my wife, she's given me 62 fantastic years. While she is somewhat ailing in various areas, I owe her so very, very much. And she knows it. God has been good to me. How about you? And finally, after having 12 people in the house now, I thought this one rings a bell. To save money, this man suggested to his grown sons that we all live together in one house. I could tell he didn't like the idea. He didn't think it would be cost effective when he asked, so who's going to be paying for the therapist? It's the age in which we live. I'm sorry. That's it. That's Hello World for another day. Had must say, my friend, thanks for being here every day at this time. Get a chance? Join me on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. You are a big deal to this ministry. And that's the way it is. Thursday, March the 14th, 2024. I am Greg Patton. Thanks so much for being here. God bless. Have a great day.